Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message that I have for you is, you are not of this world. And I mean that when I'm speaking about Christians. We don't belong to this world. We don't deserve to act like this world, and we shouldn't be acting like this world. We should be turning our cheeks to the things that happen in this world and neglecting to share those things that cause so much grief and stress and hatred and anger. But anyhow, folks, before we get there, we always do a song in the morning. Before the message, it's going to be an Alan Jackson song. It's "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Then we're going to do some prayer requests. So I'll be back in about, close to 2 minutes. Thank you for being here, and God bless you. Amen. We should be trusting Jesus more. We should be living more and more as Jesus asked us to. And that's part of what the message is this morning, folks. And I want to go there with that. Like I said, before I do, I have some prayer requests for us all. And before I get into that, I want you to understand, folks, every Sunday we do this message. Every Sunday I try to bring the word to you the best I can. So if I stumble or I fall, don't hold it against me. God's with me all the time. There are things out there, folks, in this world that we don't pay attention to much. We just seem to go about our business, and we seem to forget all those that need our prayers and those that need us to ask for their salvation, because we deal with people on a regular basis all the time that do not know the Lord, do not understand what it means to be loved by God. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world that people just don't even really want to believe that there is a God. It doesn't take much to look around and see what goes on around us as far as in the world, like our planet itself. Who created all of this? Who created the birds and the animals and the trees and the rivers and the way they flow and how they stay among their, on their, it all the water stays within its place. Our oceans don't overflow. Our lakes and streams don't overflow to the point where the water just washes over the land. Okay? There's some people out there that believe that the earth is flat, right? Well, if that's the case, then how does the water stay within their places? I mean, there's just some ridiculous stuff that goes on, and the things that they believe, and they want to trust people that aren't trustworthy. You can't believe a person who wants to share the gospel but talks about some silly, ridiculous, stupid stuff. The only thing we should be discussing is Jesus Christ and how he saves the lost, how he heals the sick, how he cleanses the body. There's people that are sick that are going to die. There's no doubt. God never said that. He was sending his son here to heal the sick. Jesus does that because that's who Jesus is. That's not what God sent Jesus down here for. Jesus was sent to save us from our sinful behavior. With that, folks, I want to say to you, please pray for those down there that have gone through the storms, through the floods down in the south. So Some of them are still going with some of the problems they got down there. So please pray for those folks that things would get straightened out soon, that they'd have a good place to live and have water and a place to stay, and there aren't people living out in the streets or hiding in the woods and having a place to have to stay where they can just be comfortable. Pray for them. Pray for our government. Our government's in such turmoil right now that they're causing such hatred among the people about things that, regardless of whether who said what or did what, they're making such a big thing out of it, folks, and they're causing so many problems for the rest of the world. People don't know how to have an opinion and agree to disagree. They just want to force an opinion upon each other. And that's just not the way life was meant to be here in this country. We were supposed to be in this country to be able to have opinions and be able to agree to disagree. That's what diversity is all about. That's what real growth as a nation is all about. Accepting others and allowing them to have an opinion doesn't mean that we follow after it, just like we wouldn't want somebody to force us to do things that are against our will or against Christ. So let's make sure we pray for all of those things that are going on within our government, within our system. And then we have people that are sick, folks. We have many people that are sick with cancer, sick with other ailments. I just heard of one this morning where a young girl had an operation a couple weeks ago for her gallbladder where it almost burst. So please pray that she heals well, okay? I won't go into the names. I'm not going to do that. We have a friend. Her name is Stacy. That one I will go into. She traveled. She went to see her son who's in boot camp. Pray for her to have a good time and safe trip back, that she'd have no problems on her way home. Pray for my children. Pray for my children, my daughter Rebecca and her husband, Johnny. Johnny just started a new job again, and help him to be able to deal with the situation, be able to get on with his life and do what needs to be done. Because we know, folks, we know how hard it is to survive in this world today. And we know how hard it is for our society to let us just live and be able to get along. Johnny's had some tough times in the last few months, but he's doing well again, and things are going right for the family. Please pray for them. Pray for their children, that everything works out well, that they stay in the home that they're in, that they'll be able to go to school where they're going. Pray for my friends that are unsaved. And that goes for your friends as well. Please remember them when we're having prayer in the morning. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us the opportunity to share the gospel and be able to be here. And I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to do that. Please keep an eye on us, Lord, and pray for me as I go through the week and be able to do the missions work and the volunteer work that I do. And for Saturday next week for the wedding that I'm going to be preparing for. Thank you, Father, for all of that. Just watch over us and give us a good day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So this morning's message, folks, so we don't lose too much time. This is where I'm at with that, folks. And I always do a prayer, and then I do a song, and then at the end I do another song. But be in the world, not as the world. Let's look at 1 John 2:15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Father, I just ask that you make sure that all of us have the love of the Father in us, and that we're not going after the world and living as the world, because we know, Father, how easy that is. We start desiring things that are unhealthy. We start desiring things that can create problems for us and keep us from you. And we know that the devil loves to do that. The devil loves to put things in our path that we would desire or that we feel we want, but it's only to keep us from looking to you for the love that you have for us and the peace and the joy that you'll give us. It's not about money. It's not about possessions, folks. You have to remember that God wants us to have peace and joy and contentment and live just the way we are, but comfortably, and not always fearing what the next moment's going to bring. There's so many people that are so afraid of so much today that they're living in the world. They're chasing after things that just cannot happen. That's why I have all these other issues of alcoholism, drug addicts, and promiscuous relationships, and so on and so forth. As believers, we begin to make decisions that are for the living right in the Lord, not decisions that are worldly. If we live right and we do what God asks us to do, he's faithful and just to answer our prayers and give us what we desire. And our desires at that point are not our desires of fleshly things, but things that would be God's will and go along with God's will, giving us what we would want in God, like the knowledge to know the scriptures better, the knowledge to know right from wrong, to be able to stop when we know something is wrong and ask for prayers when we ask in our prayers to God, that we'd be able to say, listen, Lord, I know that that's my desire in my flesh, but I want to do what's right. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to be able to do you right and do what's best. Because when people look at us as Christians, I don't want to be looked as a phony. I don't want to be looked at as a hypocrite. I want to be able to say, listen, I make mistakes, but God is faithful and just to forgive me for those mistakes. And then I want to be able to move past those mistakes and do what's right. As believers, we're supposed to be wanting to do what God asks us to do. When others are going out to the bars and to the clubs, we begin to see that lifestyle is not something for us. It's against God's will. If we're around friends or coworkers that are talking dirty jokes or making comments that we wouldn't say to God, then we should really consider and not say them. We should always be thinking of ways that we can be seen as a light in a dark world. Those things that go on around us, when we hear those things, when there's talk of hatred and talk of doing this or doing harm to someone, we should be saying, Lord, step in and take care of this. Correct the problem and fix the problem. Just like what's going on with our government right now today. We should be praying that the Lord would step in and correct those hearts of the people that are doing things evil and wicked against the rest of us. The dirty jokes and the comments, folks, we don't have to have them. You could walk away from those conversations. You could say, this ain't for me. See you later. Goodbye. And that's the end of it. And then consider this. Consider when you do, pray for those that are saying those things. Consider that you want to be able to be the light in that dark spot for them. Some things they're going to take time, folks. Some things are going to have to take us praying about them. Some things are going to have to take us being able to say, we can't do this anymore. We have to do it the way the Lord wants us to. The Lord's just, and he will give us forgiveness. And he's also going to give us the things that we, as believers in Christ, would want, like a peaceful life, a quiet life, a life with our friends, our families, a loved life, a life of love with family, friends, and associates. Nobody wants to have anybody hating one another. We have enough of that going on in the world, and for crying out loud, for Christ's sake, we should be on our knees praying that we do away with all this hatred. We need to keep in mind when we ask to be saved, we're asking to not have to face the judgment for our sins. That's what it means to be saved, folks. What it means is that when the time comes, we don't go over to the judgment seat and God says, I don't know you, go get over there. And we're down in hell. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and we ask him to come into our life and make the changes that we should be doing right, then what we're saying to Christ is, please guide me, strengthen me, and give me the knowledge to know how to say no to the sin life that I'm used to living. We should be walking, talking, and acting like Jesus Christ. When we make our mistakes and we sin, we should be asking for forgiveness, apologizing for what we did wrong. Be it whether we cuss in front of somebody, we should tell them, look, I'm sorry I did that. I shouldn't be doing that. I'm a Christian. If we say things or do things that aren't right, we should say that's not how we're supposed to talk as a Christian. We're supposed to change. We're supposed to look for change and actually start looking for ourselves so we can change, so that when God sees us later and the day comes, what do we hear? Thank you and good and faithful servant. We're not of this world. We walk in the light. John 12:35-36. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You see, right now, as a Christian, you should be in the light. At some point, your day will come and you will die, and you'll go into a small period of darkness where you pass. But you're going to go, if you're a Christian, you're going to go right into the light, into heaven. Those that don't believe, where do they go? They're not going to make it to heaven. They're never going to be able to. If you've ever walked around in a place in the dark, folks, you know what happens when you're in the dark. You stumble, you fall, you bang into things. And that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. The suffering and the pain that you're going to suffer while you're in hell because you're not a believer, the torment that you're going to feel, like it says in the Bible, eternal torment, eternal hell, eternal burning, eternal pain. You'll be in such pain that you'll never see a a human being around you. These people that think they go to hell and, oh, we're going to have a good time because all my friends are down there and we're drinking and smoking and doing things we shouldn't be doing. That doesn't happen in hell, folks. That's a lie. You're never going to see the person you thought you were going to see. In fact, you're going to be in so much pain, your eyes are going to be squeezed so tight, all you're ever going to do is feel pain. You'll never see anything. While you have light, verse 36, believe in the light that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. See, Jesus even hid those things that were hid from the things of darkness. The Bible says we should avoid all appearances of sin. There shouldn't be any of us hanging around a sinful life. We really shouldn't be. Jesus did the same thing. Some say, oh, Jesus never did this or Jesus never did that. Yes, he did. He avoided all appearances of evil. He didn't go looking for evil. He didn't go trying to seek it out to change it. He said, if they want me, they'll come to me. If he happened to be going down the road and one was there and he saw him and he saw the evil in him, yeah, he may have corrected it. But that doesn't mean he went looking for that individual. Just like we shouldn't be going looking for it either. We shouldn't be going to the bars trying to save people. We shouldn't be going into places like the prostitute halls. We shouldn't be going into places like that. We're supposed to avoid that. You know why? Because we're walking into a dark place, and we're going to get ourselves in trouble. If you have a friend or a loved one that you care about, yes, it's up to you to pull them from the miry pit. It's up to you to pull them from those flames, it says in the Bible. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share the gospel with them so that they, too, can see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, and they can see that they don't have to be in darkness. And you can be that shining light. All you have to do is share the gospel with them. The Lord says we should share his word all the time. As followers of Jesus Christ, we need to leave our old lives behind and live for Christ as a new body. That's what we're supposed to do. The moment we decide that we want Jesus in our life, we become a new creature, the Bible says. I have said many times we must change in order to be like Christ. That means leaving our old self, our flesh, behind. That's why people will say, well, there's somebody coming to church and they're dressed this way or dressed that way and they're provocative. How come they're still allowed to come to our church? Because they'll never hear the gospel if we kick them out for the way they look or act. But it doesn't mean that we allow the rest of our family and friends to start acting like them. Imagine if I went backwards and started hanging around with all the people I used to hang around with and said, well, I'm going to do this to save their souls. And then next thing you know, I'm dressing like them. I'm acting like them. I'm carrying on like them. How would they see any difference? They're not. They only see difference when we change, when we start making those changes to show others that we can change, that we can be good Christians, that we want to be good Christians, and we don't want to live our old life or our past life. In Scripture, the Bible teaches we need to be true believers. And then we have to do as Christ asks. Look at this chapter in the verses where Christ healed a man. If we look at John 5, 1 through 8, we'll see where that is. So give me a second. I'm going to get right there. But as I'm getting there, I want you to understand something, folks. This when we share the gospel, we're not sharing the gospel for nothing. We're sharing it because we're trying to bring about the light, trying to bring about the word of God, and we're trying to do it in a way that's pleasing, not to just us, but to God. Because Christ will use the word to please us. He'll use the word to guide us, strengthen us, and give us the courage to go out into a sick, dirty, filthy world and share the light, share the gospel of Christ, and hopefully win souls for him. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be in the light in the world, and we're supposed to bring in the fruit. And the fruit is bringing in those that were sinners that changed and became believers. Let's look at this in chapter 5 of John. It says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these, in the porches, lay a great multitude of impotent folks, or sick, or palsy, or what have you, of blind, and halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. So he was 38 years with his infirmity, which, if you read the story, you'll see he wasn't able to move. He was just stuck there, laying there on that porch. Somehow he got there. Whether he crawled there or somebody put him there, that's where he was stuck. When Jesus saw him lying there,
and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou, these are Jesus' words, wilt thou be made whole? That's what Jesus asks us. Are you going to do something? Are you going to lay there? Will you be made whole? Will you be made whole in the word of Jesus Christ? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another stepped down before me. That means somebody stepped right over him so he couldn't get to the water, didn't even bother to help him. And then they went into the water. Sounds kind of like us. We want things and we want people to get out of our way when we're busy, and we're going to be first instead of helping someone to get there so they can be healed, which is how we should do it. We should be helping people to know about Christ and to learn about him. Look at here in verse 8. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Jesus healed him. He didn't have to go into the water. Jesus knew how much he believed. So he said, Listen, take up your bed and follow me. And that's an action, folks. That's an action that we have to take as Christians to follow the Lord. Look here, it says, The Jews therefore said unto him, I'm going to read a little bit further, that was cured. It is the Sabbath day. It is not a lawful day for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. You see, people saw him. The Jewish people saw him and said, What are you doing carrying your bed? Well, the man that healed me said, Take my bed and follow him. Take up my bed and walk, he said. Then asked they him, What man is that which saith unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was. In other words, they wasn't the same man he was before, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. You see, we're not supposed to go around sinning once we're saved. Once we take the action that Jesus healed us, we're supposed to be changing. That doesn't mean that we always change. It doesn't mean we change overnight, but it takes time, and we all know that. To be better at something means to do it in a habit-forming way so that we change. People that smoke start out with a cigarette, coughing their brains out, but yet they go do it again because it sounds cool, it feels cool, right? And that's a habit they form. People that drink, the same thing. People that get into any sin. It starts out with one thought process, adds to another, and then you're acting on it, and the acting becomes the act of sin. So if you want to back out of all of that, you have to do just the opposite in the same manner. Little by little, bit by bit, we lead on, and further down the road, we become good Christians by reading our Bible, hearing the Word, studying the Word, learning all these things, building ourselves up in Jesus Christ, and sharing as the light goes on and on. It's like rejuvenating our batteries in a flashlight where we gain the power back after they've been weakened. As Christian believers, we should desire or want to serve the Lord, I said. And I said, listen, there's a lot more that goes along with all of this. If we do these things, if we do them time and time again, before you know it, you're living the right life. People see the change in you. And those that were in our past, they either want to change or they don't want to become part of our life any longer. How many times have we heard someone say about a relative or a friend that has passed, they're in heaven or in a better place? I've heard it so many times. If I wish I could have a dollar for every time I heard that. And then you ask them, you say, oh, were they saved? Did they know Jesus Christ? Oh, I don't know. I just know there's no way the God of this planet would allow them to go to a bad or a worse place. Well, really? He's asked you and asked you and asked you to get saved. He's asked you and asked you to follow after him. And then when you die, if you haven't done those things, he doesn't owe you anything. In fact, the Bible says, it says right in there, get away from me because I don't know you. So you think about that. You want that to be the case? Do you want to be in a place where when the time comes that you die, that you can honestly know you've done all you can to serve the Lord and end up in heaven? That's what you want to do. There's many people that people think they're going to heaven, but they don't know Jesus Christ. The truth is, if a person is a worldly person who lives in the world, drinks and smokes and promiscuous and do all the rotten things this world does, lie and live in corruption and be a thief and what have you, that person doesn't get to heaven. But if a person confesses the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then and only then can we know they are a believer. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. It says, chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 says this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You have to believe, but keep this in mind. The devil knows the Lord. The devil believes that there's a Jesus. The devil knows that there's a God. So it doesn't stop right there, folks. It says here in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants you to have everlasting life. He wants you to go to heaven. He doesn't want you to go into turmoil. But you think about this. If a person believes, that's what the Word of God says, we must believe, and if we believe, we are instructed to take an action to do differently than we have been doing. Now you think about that. The man at that well in Bethesda, he was sitting there, and he no longer is laying on that porch waiting around. He's no longer waiting for change. He's going to take the action to make change in his life. He's no longer laying there waiting for something to happen or anything to happen. He knows it happened. He got up, he picked up his bed, and he walked. And that's what Christ said to us. You need to do something. He didn't just live it. He changed. That man changed. He didn't just go, okay, well, I can walk around now. I'm healed. And off he went and never told anybody about Christ. He went out and told people. He said, look, this is who I was. You know me. I was the one that was laying at the well. I am now healed, he said. If you want to live right, you got to change. We have to believe, and we have to believe we are instructed to take an action. It's not just that we get saved and ask for Jesus to come into our life and get baptized, and that's the end. Our work doesn't stop there. There's more for us to do. We have to take an action to live right, change, make those changes. We're to do the same that man did. We're to praise the Lord for what he did. He went out and told people, that's what we should be doing. We should say, look, I'm a changed individual. I no longer talk like that. I don't cuss. I don't do the dirty joke scene no more. I don't drink like I used to. I don't drink at all. For me personally, I drink no alcohol beverages. For me, I smoke nothing because my body's the temple of Christ. Maybe I eat things I shouldn't eat. Maybe I go places with my body I shouldn't go. But I got news for you. I don't live the life I used to live. I'm a changed individual. And I let people know that, and sometimes they don't like it. Because of doing right, I know that there are times that I'm going to live wrong, but I'm going to ask for forgiveness. Let's look at John 15:19 before it gets any later. It says, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Many a times I'll share the gospel and some people won't like it and they don't want to hear it. And I know that. But they hated Jesus long before they ever even thought of hating me. And that's what's caught in their heart. They want to live in this world as the world, and that's where they're stuck, living just as the world. Ask today for Jesus to forgive you. Start making the change in your life. This way here you can live right, you can do right, and you'll be pleasing to God. And when the day comes, you'll meet the Lord and he'll say, oh, good and faithful servant. And you will be allowed to go to heaven and not suffer in eternal hell. Will you ask the Lord to do that today? Will you? Will you ask the Lord to come into your life to forgive you and change you? Will you become a Christian right now? I sure hope you do. God bless you and thank you for being here. I have one last song for you. Father, thank you for allowing me to share the gospel. I hope I've touched their hearts. I hope I've made some sense. We have to live right, Lord. I know that. Thank you for being here and God bless you. And like I said, folks, you can find me over on William Preacher Bill Barnes, and we can go from there, and you'll see. Anything I can help you with, I will. That's just the way it is. Find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook. Jesus paid it all. Actually, Jesus paid for all of us, right? But here's a song I want to play. It's called Redeemed. I'll play this one. I think you'll like this. It's a short song. So we should be able to play that and then be done with it. Get in here and find out where it's going to be that I can get it to. Because this thing has been playing a game with me all morning. Thank you for coming out. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, on Facebook. Thank you. Wait, Bob. Have a great day, folks. God bless you. Come see us again next Sunday.
proclaim.